I invite us to read it in unison together. I don't believe there's children's church today. Is that correct? No children's church today. I want to encourage that we still need some more teachers, and especially those that have are joining in membership. We would love to get you right involved doing some teaching with our children so that we could have it every week again. So please pray with us. Pray about it. But let's read the scripture together from Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 27 through verse 32. Let's begin. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector, Levi, sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And the Lord bless his word to us, his holy and wonderful word. You may be seated, and I'll ask Brother Joe to come and pray over the word this morning.
Father, we just thank you that you called us, just as you called Levi or Matthew. So, Father, we ask you to open our ears, our eyes, our hearts to hear what you have to say through Tom. We pray your anointing on him. Father, we anxiously want to have what you have for us. So we commit this to you and to your power. We ask this in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 5 if you haven't already. And also there's an outline in the bulletin that will go along with the message. And for your doodling, I've seen some of your doodling. I like it. We're continuing in our series in Luke, here in chapter 5, at this very interesting passage. By way of introduction, let me just retell the story that we just read. Jesus has left the house he was teaching at. We saw that last week where he was teaching in the house. You remember, it was so crowded that they brought a man who was paralyzed from birth, and they couldn't fit in. So they hoisted him up to the roof. They tore off the tiles on the roof, and they lowered him down into the house right before Jesus. And we read last week that Jesus healed the man, and he told the Pharisees that he had come to heal those that needed it. He also could forgive sins because he was the Messiah, the Holy One, the Son of God. So Jesus then leaves the house. As he's leaving, he notices a tax collector sitting at his booth. When it says booth, it's really a table that had a canopy over it that protected them from the sun for the lengthy time they were sitting there collecting the taxes and tribute and things like that. And so Jesus goes up to Levi, who we better know as Matthew. He is the author of the first gospel, Matthew, according to Matthew. Same guy. Did you know that Matthew was a tax collector before he became a follower of Jesus? And Jesus, seeing him there, calls him to follow him. And Levi does. He does so immediately. Then he holds his banquet. He holds a banquet for Jesus, and all the other tax collectors and other friends come and join in. Why do you think that Levi has this banquet for them? Well, he's amazed that Jesus would have anything to do with him. let alone call him to be one of his disciples. He's amazed, and he wanted to bring all his friends to see this, and then for them to meet Jesus too. What a great opportunity, what a great plan of how to invite people for Jesus, to get to introduce Jesus to them. I remember when I was growing up at home, one of my mom's friends, her husband was a doctor, and they were quite wealthy. And they would often host very, very large dinner parties at their home for his associates, other doctors, and those of the upper crust. And we'd actually have them come and have a very nice meal. And then one of them would give their testimony of how they have met Christ, how they had met Jesus Christ and their life had been changed. Well, they didn't invent that. Levi did. Levi invites the gang. Now, is there some motivation in there that he wants them to see that, hey, Jesus has accepted me and Jesus has called me? Sure. All of our motivation is mixed, is it not? There's not a one of us that has pure motivation. And so he has this great banquet, and they come. Guess who's missing? Guess who's not invited? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They're conspicuously absent, aren't they? They're not there. But they're outside, and it has not escaped their attention. They're not far away. And they begin to criticize Jesus. They say, isn't it interesting, they don't say it to Jesus himself. They speak to Jesus' disciples. Now, part of that could have been that maybe Jesus wasn't accessible at this point. The house is packed. It's large. And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that are part of their sect criticize Jesus. They speak to his disciples and they say, man, why is Jesus, your master, your teacher, why is he hanging out with tax collectors and sinners? And so Jesus responds to them in verse 31. He says, it is not the healthy that need a doctor, no, but the sick. And I, Jesus, the Messiah, have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's our main point. Jesus, the Messiah, came to call not the righteous, but the unrighteous. He came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Once again, as we see this, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees in their religious smugness. And he does it, watch this, he does it with their own beliefs, their own statements, their own convictions. You see, the Pharisees had an account of themselves that was very different than everybody else. The Pharisees had an account of themselves thinking that they were the righteous ones. And everybody else was sinners. Ever meet somebody like that? Holier than thou attitude. Maybe you've met some people like that in churches in the past. I hope you've never met anybody like that here in this church. Because as you know, I'm the first one to admit that I'm a sinner, just like you. And you see, Jesus has come not to call those who think that they are righteous. No, no. He has come to call sinners to repentance. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, since you think you're healthy, you don't need me, Dr. Jesus. And since you think you're righteous, you don't need me, Messiah Jesus, to call you to repentance. So, just go enjoy your own company. And that's really the upshot of it all. Jesus and the tax collectors and the other various sinners are inside having a banquet. They're having a good time. And Jesus is having a good time hanging out with them. And the Pharisees are on the outside muttering, complaining, griping. But guess what? They're all by themselves. Jesus says, hey, enjoy each other. Break it down here in the few minutes we have. Number one, as the story progresses or unfolds, Jesus has called Levi, who is Matthew, who is a despised tax collector, to come and follow him. And Levi immediately follows. We read that in verses 27 and 28. Now, what's amazing to everyone, including Levi, is that Jesus interacts with him, and then, even more amazingly, calls him a tax collector to follow him and become a follower, a disciple of Christ. Well, why is this significant? Well, because tax collectors were twice hated, twice despised. First, they were acting as agents for the Romans, collecting taxes, collecting customs from their fellow Jews. Secondly, they would also add their cut on top. They would defraud their fellow Jews. They would add an amount on top, take their cut. And so they were hated. And so they are lumped in with other sinners, even though many of them were upstanding Jews in that sense. Their background, their descendants were the same ones. But because they had done this, because they had become traitors by being agents of the Romans, they were twice hated and then defrauding their fellow Jews. Isn't it interesting how we always kind of consider tax collectors, and even today with IRS people, you kind of grumble at them. You know, they're just doing the job. And most of them are honest. Most of them are going to charge you if they have to follow up. You didn't file your taxes. You didn't file them correctly. You know, most of them will charge you what it's required. It was, I think it was 2 years ago, after we filed our income tax, I got a nice letter in the mail from Uncle Sam via IRS. And it said, please provide for us proof of your contributions, you know, your contributions to nonprofits. You see, they looked at my giving, which is, you know, if you're a church person and you give to the church, usually your giving is more than the average person. So they looked and they said, flag this one. Show us proof of what you gave. And so, got out my statement from the church, made a copy of it, sent it off to them. A few weeks later, got a letter back, said, okay, thanks. Everything was fine. They weren't trying to charge me more than they should have. They just wanted to know if I was being honest. So, you know, sometimes the attitude towards tax collectors, towards the IRS today, is not valid. It's not really adequate. Jesus said, pay taxes to Caesar, did he not? Give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give unto God what belongs to God. And so we're to pay our taxes. I should have preached this before April 15th, huh? Yeah. Then we charge IRS. Then we're getting in trouble. Well, what's amazing is that this tax collector who's twice hated, Jesus calls him. Jesus interacts with him. So Levi, Matthew, is hated by this majority of the Jews around him. And he's ostracized. Tax collectors were ostracized. Therefore, because the tax collectors were ostracized, they began to hang together. Right? Birds of a feather flock together. And so the tax collectors hang out together. And because they're lumped in with all the other general sinners, whatever they may be, they all hang out together. But Jesus calls Levi the tax collector, the sinner. Now, Levi no doubt has heard about Jesus. He's probably heard his preaching. And I'm sure that he has heard the good news that Jesus has preached. You see, this is the difference with Jesus' message and the Pharisees' message. The Pharisees, like, hey, I got all these rules, 969 of them, and you, my brother, you, my sister, got to follow every one of them, and I'm here to see that you do it. Thank you very much. How do you think that went over? It didn't go over very well at all. I think I was looking at this. I think you could pick up 10 grains of rice, but if you picked up more than that, man, forget it. You're going to hell. 10 grains of rice, and that's it. You go past it, buddy, you're gone. All kinds of ridiculous things. I think you could take 20 paces from your house. So you get up there, 17, 18, 19, 20. You know how we are. We always want to push the envelope, push the edge. We want to make sure no Pharisees looking, though. These people were hated. And Jesus comes with a message. And instead of providing a new way for you to come to God, you got to do this, 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 and this, according to the Pharisees, and then God will accept you like He's accepted me. Jesus comes with another message. Jesus says, God has come near in me, His Son. God has come near to you in me, His Son. So come to me because I want you to be with me. You see the difference in the message? Oh, Jesus came to the people. God sent Jesus, His Son, to come to the people. And you notice Jesus didn't stay outside, did He? He went on in. He's eating and drinking, not necessarily the way that some people drink today. I'm not talking about that. But He's in there enjoying the banquet with them. He didn't stay outside. Jesus, listen, Jesus doesn't stay outside your house. Jesus doesn't stay outside your life. Sometimes we think, man, I got to clean myself up, man. How could God accept me, you know, the way I am until I get myself cleaned up? You know, and once I get myself, you know what, I'm going to get myself cleaned up and then I'll be acceptable to Jesus. That's so silly. Because first of all, you start something like that, and what happens? After a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, if you're really determined and really good, what happens? You give up. I can't do this. It's too hard. I can't be perfect. I can't make myself acceptable. No. Well, guess what? Jesus isn't asking you to do that. Jesus came right on in and sat down with the tax collectors, the Pharisees. And He says to Levi, who's heard His preaching, heard the good news, when Messiah Jesus comes to him and then bids him to follow, what does he do? He gets up, he leaves his work immediately. Now watch this. Tax collectors were wealthy. We might think he's some poor guy scraping two pennies together. He's not. He has a large banquet in his large house, doesn't he? He got wealthy on taking that cut on his fellow Jews. And so he's pretty wealthy. And he's not interested in the wealth anymore. You know what he's found out? The wealth of the world does not compare to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can have everything that the world will offer you, but if you don't have Jesus, baby, you ain't got nothing. You can have everything this world offers you. You can have it all. I think of a man like Donald Trump. Now, I know some of you might like him, and I don't dislike him. I think he's incredibly arrogant. He has, I mean, how many billions does he own? Who knows? How many buildings does he own? Who knows? But, you know, when you see the man interviewed, he's very arrogant. And it's like he has everything he wants. But I don't think he knows Jesus. And he's empty inside. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just kind of surmising. Jesus said you judge a tree by its fruit. And so, you know, you can have everything this world would offer you. Matthew had a lot. He's wealthy. He immediately gets up and follows Jesus. Think of that for a minute. Jesus, I choose you. I'm going to follow you. Now earlier, in Matthew 4:19, Jesus had said the same thing. Watch this. This is very important. Jesus had said the same thing to Simon Peter and to his brother Andrew. He said to them, come follow me. Call them to be his disciples. Now we think of them, oh, they're pretty good Jewish boys, two brothers, you know. Simon and Andrew, good boys, come follow me. But guess what? Jesus, he is including Levi right there with these crew. This becomes Jesus' crew. And as you go through the people that he called, some of them were kind of infamous. But Jesus accepts them right where they're at. And he calls them. You see, there's a teaching today that Jesus accepts everybody. Jesus accepts everybody. Everybody's going to heaven. Well, that's not the only thing that Jesus said. Jesus accepted them, but what else did he do? He called them to what? What does it say there? Oh, that's sad. He called them to what? repentance. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So Levi is included with the crew. And of course, Jesus adds in Matthew 4:19, he adds to them, "I will make you fishers of men," because they were fishermen. And they immediately leave their nets and they follow Jesus. So he calls Levi. I can picture Jesus. Can't you? I mean, Levi is sitting there. He's got these little stacks of money. You know, they changed money, took his cut. He's sitting there and Jesus comes up, looks him right in the eye, looks right through to his soul and his heart, and he says, "I want you to follow me." Guess what? Jesus says that to every one of us. Jesus comes and he looks at every one of us, looks right into our eyes, right into our soul, and he says, "I want you to follow me. I accept you, but I want you to follow me." Have you heard Jesus' call? You see, Matthew didn't just get up and decide one day, "Hey, I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, he's pretty popular. I'm going to join in with his crew." Oh no, it doesn't happen that way. You come to Jesus because you hear him calling you and you respond in faith and obedience. So, have you heard that call? You see, it's not just about believing in Jesus. How many of us have heard that? You know, you talk to people, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I put that thing right up over here in this religious shelf up here in my life. Yeah. Well, it's not about just believing in Jesus. Oh no. You see, he calls us to really follow him as Lord. If we're going to believe in him, we are called to follow him as Lord in our lives. And Lord means master. Lord means boss. The one who calls the shots. Number two. The Pharisees, they're hanging out outside and they criticize Jesus for hanging out with the tax collectors and the sinners at Levi's banquet. Not them. He's not hanging with them. Isn't it interesting? Jesus is not interested in hanging out with self-righteous people. Jesus chooses who he's going to hang out with. You see it? The Pharisees, they were the religious of the religious. I mean, they had it going on when it came to religion. And they dressed for it. They spoke for it. They walked for it. I mean, they had it all. And, you know, here's what they thought. Jesus, where are you going? I'm right here. And Jesus walks right on past them into Levi's house. And he goes and hangs out with the tax collectors and the sinners. Oh, Levi throws this banquet. Can you picture that? I mean, I bet you it was loud and raucous and all kinds of crazy people are there. Because, you know, people are crazy. They are. Most of y'all are crazy. That's why Jesus loves you. Jesus loves crazy people. And most of us are crazy, you know? So he throws this banquet, man. It's chaos. Man, there's people in there, you know, were some of them drinking to excess? Probably. You know, Jesus himself was accused of being a drunkard, right? Oh, he hangs out with with drunkards and with prostitutes, man. You can tell what kind of low life he is. You know, but Jesus walks right on past them and joins right in. And guess who's not invited? You know, the interesting thing was, even if the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had been invited, they wouldn't have come. They wouldn't have joined in because they don't want to get contaminated. But Jesus is there eating with them, right in the middle of it. Jesus is there. Now, in a Middle Eastern culture, when you eat with somebody, when you come into their home and you sit down and you break bread with them, first of all, it's a very high honor to the guest. You honor the guest by inviting them in for a banquet to eat. You're honoring them. And so Matthew, Levi, is honoring Jesus. And he's honoring his friends as he brings them all together. Secondly, it's a sign of the one who's invited, the guest, when he comes in and he breaks bread with you, it's a sign of intimate acquaintance and intimate acceptance. Jesus intimately accepts these that he is eating with. Listen. Jesus is not sitting in the corner saying, "Ooh, stay away from me. You sinners, you textures, stay away from me. Don't contaminate me." Jesus, he's right in the middle of it. And I bet you Jesus is laughing right along with them. I bet you Levi was giddy because Jesus had accepted him. And I bet you Jesus was having a wonderful time. Jesus was enjoying that intimate interaction. Also, Levi is proclaiming that he is following Jesus. And Jesus is proclaiming, watch this, Jesus is proclaiming, "I accept you, Levi. I want to spend time with you." You ever think about that? Jesus wants to spend time with the likes of you and me. He wants to spend time with us. Jesus, the Son of God, who took on flesh, wants to spend time with you and me. The Word that became flesh, the author of the universe, wants to come and hang out with you and me. Wants to spend time with us. Wants to get to know us. Wants to have intimate fellowship with us. You ever think about that? And guess what? He has time to do it. You know, sometimes you get a dinner invitation. You know, somebody wants you to come over. And you're like, "Oh, look at my schedule. Oh, sorry, I don't have time. I can't do it. You know, let's do it another time." And the invitation doesn't always come. But when you invite Jesus, He comes. He's got time. He's got a schedule cleared for you and me. And He wants to spend time with you and me. I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. It really does. You know, sometimes the church has made this picture, this representation of Jesus. You know, He's either high up in the lofty clouds, floating around with some angels, some fat babies with wings, or they have him up on the cross, big sad-eyed, broken man, still nailed to the cross. I mean, how's Jesus going to come down off there and hang out with me? And how, if he's up in the sky, up in the clouds, how's he going to come hang out with me and spend time? That's because we just have misrepresented Jesus so often. When we read in Revelation chapter 1, right, John's vision of the apocalypse, the end times, the culmination of the end of times, he hears a voice speaking, and he turns, and what does he see? One like the Son of Man right there next to him. And right in the middle of all the churches, the lampstands which represent the churches, Jesus is right there in the middle of them. He is right here in the middle of us today. That's why he said, "Where two or three of you would gather, I will be there. I am with you." Somebody asked this question the other day. They said, "Well, I thought, you know, when we receive Jesus, we receive his Holy Spirit, and so the Holy Spirit's always with us, right?" I said, "That's correct. That's what the Word says." I said, "Well, what does it mean when it says, you know, Jesus says, 'Where two or three of you would gather in my name, there I am in your midst'?" Well, it's because, you see, when we, his followers, gather in his name, he shows up in a special way. He's with every one of us who knows Jesus. He's with us. But you see, there's something special when we come together. He shows up in a way that's different than when we're alone. Why? Because that's the way he created it to be. He created the church, the body of believers. And he loves to come and visit his church, his followers. It doesn't have to be in a building like this. It doesn't have to be in a cathedral. It could be in somebody's house. It could be out in the park. Remember one person said, "Oh, I don't need to go to church. I go out in the woods and enjoy God's beauty around us, and I worship God like that." I said, "Really? Do you?" And they kind of had to hesitate, be honest. "No, not really. You might go out in the woods. You might be looking for a deer to shoot, possum to catch. But very few people really go out in the woods and worship God. There might be an exception or two, but that's the reason you and I need to be in church together. Oh, you don't need to be in here every time the door's open. No. But in the main, we need to be here because guess what? Jesus is going to be here. And if you don't come, you're going to miss Jesus. Oh, I thought Jesus was with me. He is with you. But He comes in a special way here at His church. And so Jesus has come and He wants to spend time with you and me. Here's what He says, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Ryan Allen's going to read that for us.
And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you, Ryan. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me. The same call that He gave Levi, He gives to each one of us. Come to me. Come spend time with me. Come hang out with me. I want to do something in your life. I want to show you who I am in your life. It's not about cleaning yourself up to be acceptable to Him. He wants to change your life. And so Jesus answers them. He answers this criticism that the Pharisees have of Him. Verses 31 through 32. It's so important. I'd like us to read that again. Dwayne Nelson is going to read verses 31 and 32 for us.
Luke chapter 5, right, Pastor?
Correct.
Okay. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Jesus answers that He has come for those who know they are sick and know they are not righteous, and He calls them to repentance. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But, you know, as He gives this answer, I am sure the Pharisees were speechless. They're speechless. Because, you see, they have been trapped by their own words. You see, Jesus is saying to them, listen, dudes, if you think that you're healthy, then you don't need me. So, enjoy yourselves. If you think that you are righteous, then you don't need me. So, enjoy yourself. You see, Jesus really isn't about coming in and you know, rubbing it in on us. Oh, listen, you sinned this morning. Can't talk to you today. See me tomorrow. We'll see how you do tomorrow. Aren't you glad it's not like that? Oh my goodness. I am so glad that it's not like that. But that Jesus says, oh no, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. There is a yoke to follow. There is a yoke to put upon your back and my back. But He says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So I'm sure the Pharisees are just speechless. You know, that's not how they think of themselves. They don't think of themselves as sick. They don't think of themselves as unrighteous. They think of themselves as healthy and righteous people. Hey, we're God's chosen. We're God's chosen. What are you talking about, Jesus? We're God's chosen people. And see, Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy One, has come to call us, all of us. Come if you know that you're sin sick, and come if you know that you're not righteous. Come to Him. And in calling us, He says, and I call you to repentance. I call you to repentance. You see, there is a requirement. There is a condition. It's not something we do. It's something we lay down, our lives. When Jesus says, follow me, He calls a man to come and die. When Jesus calls a man or a woman, He calls them to come and to die. I remember when I was a teenager, I'd grown up in a mainline church. And all my life, even from a young age, we sat through the service at the right time. We said the Lord's Prayer. We even said the Apostles' Creed. That's why I can still say it from memory. We sang the doxology. At the end of the service, the choir got up and sang, the Lord bless you and keep you. And so every week it was the same thing. Now, the message that the pastor preached was different. And he preached it from the Bible. But honestly, I don't remember much very clear about the issue of needing to die to ourselves, the issue of repentance. Let's talk about that for just a minute. Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. That's pretty clear there, isn't it, folks? That's pretty clear. I've come to call sinners to feel better about themselves. I've come to call sinners to get in on the latest self-help group. Sinners 101. How you can think of yourself as the righteous, not a sinner. Class starts after church. Let me ask you a question. Why is it, if this is central to Jesus' preaching, central to the message of the gospel, why do we hear so little about it out there in Christendom? You turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, and I doubt you can count on one hand how many times you hear the issue of repentance in your life and in my life. Oh, but God's got a wonderful plan for your life. God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. God wants to make you healthy and wealthy and wise. And if you just send me an offering of $100 or more, I'm going to send you my book on how you can be healthy, wealthy, and wise using God's principles from the Bible. Why is it that we hear so little about repentance when it's central to Jesus' preaching, central to the gospel? Well, what is repentance? Repentance is an essential part of the gospel because He is the Messiah, the Holy One. Therefore, He has the right to call us to repentance. I found this definition of repentance in one of the study websites, Bible study websites that I use. Watch this. Repentance is a change of mind prompted by a change of heart resulting in a change of life. Isn't that great? Repentance is a change of mind. That's the word repent means to turn, to change. Metanoia is a turning in our mind. You see, that has to happen first before there's a turning of behavior. We have a lot of people in churches that are trying to turn their behavior, but their mind hasn't been turned yet. The mind has to be turned. Why and how? Prompted by a change of heart. Only God can touch your heart. Only God can help you to hear that call of follow me. And it results in the change of life. It's a turning from self and sin and a turning to God through faith in Christ. Romans 2:4. Don't you know that God's kindness leads us towards repentance? Ongoing repentance. Not just initial repentance. Ongoing repentance. Repentance in my life every day. God, I turn away from myself and I turn to you in faith. I think that's what Romans is all about, isn't it? Romans says, set your hearts and your mind on things above. Reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Count yourself dead to sin. And so repentance is an ongoing thing. It's a daily thing. I'm to live in repentance. You see, repentance is not just an initial turning away of my mind and my unbelief and turning to faith in Christ. It starts there, and then it's a life of turning to the Lord daily. That's why Jesus said it in Luke chapter 9. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so Jesus is calling each one of us today. Jesus has called us. Some of us have responded. Some of us are seeking to listen, seeking to hear. And my question for you as we close today is this. Do you know that you're sick? Do you know that you're not righteous? And therefore have you turned to faith in Jesus, the Messiah? You see, he's not really, when he gives that parable there, it's only the sick that really need a doctor. He's really talking about sin sickness, right? You have to know that you're sin sick and that you need Dr. Jesus. You have to know that you're not righteous in yourself, but you're a sinner in and of yourself, and you need Jesus to forgive you, and then you need to follow Him. That's Jesus' call. Is that you today? But not only that, it's not just an initial thing, it's a daily thing, isn't it? See, Jesus wants to hang out daily with you and me. He wants to spend time with us daily. I think Jesus, watch this, I think Jesus wants to spend time with you and me daily, and He wants to laugh with us. He wants to talk, you know, we start talking about, we're so serious. Oh God, oh I can't believe I failed you once again. And I can just hear Jesus, yeah, you sure did, then you really blew it. But I forgive you. Because you're my follower. You're my child. We're so serious about our lives. Oh my gosh. God, I took too much change from that cashier. I got 25 extra cents in my pocket. I'm a terrible sinner. Maybe some of us are a little worse than that. Maybe some of us intentionally wanted to get some extra change back or extra bills back. But you know what? I can see Jesus smiling and say, you know what? Give it back to her the next time you're there. Be my follower. Live in repentance. You see, folks, we have to get past this Pharisee stuff. We got to get past it. Listen, Jesus is not interested in your performance. Yes, if we sin, He wants to deal with it. But He really wants to enjoy some fellowship, some time with you and me. I know He does. You know why? He spent time with Levi. He spent time with those tax collectors. He spent time with what society around them called the lowlifes, the sinners. And Jesus chose to hang with them rather than the righteous, ones that thought they were fine. How about you today? Where are you at? You think you're fine? You think you're righteous? You think everything's good? You don't need God? Or have you come to that place where you've heard His call and you know, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I hear your call. Forgive me. And I'm going to follow you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you are the one that calls us. This isn't something the church does. It's not something the pastor does. Not even something we do. But Lord, we hear your voice. And you call us. Come. Follow me. Lord, I pray for each one of us. If we've heard that call, Lord, that we will follow you daily in repentance, and Lord, enjoy that relationship with you. Enjoy spending that time with you. Lord, thank you for smiling on us. As a father has compassion on his child, so you have compassion on us. But Lord, if there's any here today that they've not yet heard your call, or they've heard your call and they're wrestling with that call, Lord, would you please draw them? Do the work that only you can do. Touch those human hearts and bring them and draw them to yourself, Lord. I just feel I would be amiss if we didn't pray a prayer of invitation. So I'm going to ask and invite all of us to pray. And if that's you today, and you need to pray out of your heart, you hear Jesus' call, and you want to respond and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Or maybe you need to rededicate your life and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you every day in repentance. If you pray out of your heart, Jesus will do His part. He'll do that miracle. And so I invite you to pray with me. We're all going to pray it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus, the Messiah, your Son, in the flesh. And I hear your voice today, Jesus. I respond out of obedience. I'm going to follow you. I ask you to have fellowship with me. Come into my life and change me like you changed Levi. And may I have fellowship every day with you. I'm going to follow you all of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, you don't have to pray a fancy prayer with these and thous and I beseech thee and all that kind of stuff. I don't even think God likes that anymore. I think He loves to hear the sound of a simple and open and honest heart. And so as we close today, if you've done that for the first time, we'd love to pray with you. Come on up at the end and we'd love to just encourage and give you some literature. If you need prayer for any reason, come on up and we'll be glad to grasp hands and pray together. The Lord bless you and keep you this wonderful Mother's Day. Take Mom out to a nice lunch and enjoy the rest of this wonderful day. God bless you all. Take time to greet each other before you go.